We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we welcome in Matt Manicheri. And Matt is the Vice President of Football and Research for Sports Info Solutions. He is the editor of the Sports Info Solutions Football Rookie Handbook. It's just about 700 pages of scouting reports. That's all it is. Not a big deal. It's, I tell you, if you are a this book for about, the last 3 or 4 weeks hasn't been out of an arm's reach of myself in getting ready for the NFL draft. It's good stuff. Matt's a former scout with the Saints and the Browns, and he's kind enough to hang out with us here for a little bit this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kind of recap the draft. We'll get his thoughts on some of these guys that the Falcons took. I want to start, Matt, with Kyle Pitts. How do you see Kyle Pitts and his game projecting to the NFL? Can he be this generational talent that people think that he can be?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on. I love the Kyle Pitts pick. You know, I think that from the beginning, people were thinking of him as a tight end. Then there was all, you know, is he actually a receiver? Is he more? That's what he can do. The fact that we're asking those questions about this guy, and we're not talking about it in a tweener sense, we're talking about the sense that he could be an A-plus wide receiver. He could be an A-plus tight end. They're going to move him all over the formation. I think that in terms of skill sets, it's very hard to find anybody to compare him to. He's an elite, elite receiver, and, you know, you add him there with, you know, hopefully they keep Julio around, and obviously Calvin Ridley's a stud. So you've got weapons there to go for Matt Ryan. And then, you know, the offensive line being a big need on the team, certainly you don't necessarily address that per se with the Kyle Pitts pick. But I think what you do with Kyle Pitts is you dictate matchups in such a way that you do help the offensive line. You do help the running game. Because if you're a defense and you try to keep linebackers on the field to defend Kyle Pitts, you're going to get torched. So you're going to force the defense into nickel as their base just by having Kyle Pitts, and maybe even dime instead of nickel, if that was their base. So you're going to be playing with their personnel, making them smaller so that they can handle your speed, and I think that helps the running game. So I love what he does to the offense. Really, I think, transforms it right away.
Mike, you spoke about the offensive line, and the Falcons decided to take Jalen Mayfield from Michigan in the third round. When you look at Mayfield and you look at this pick, how important was this pick to the Atlanta Falcons in their offensive line? And what do you think some of the things that Mayfield can present to help this team get the run game going?
Yeah, I think this was incredible value getting Mayfield here in the third round. He's a guy that I think could have gone as early as late in the first round. The thing with him in is you're looking at a guy who's played 15 games, 15 starts in his college career. So, the stats are really good. No penalties, holds or false starts in any of those games. He's a guy that when you turn on the film and you look at what he did in his two starts in 2020, he was absolutely tossing people around. You talk about play strength, grown man strength, and this is a guy who's not even 21 yet. So, the terms of the growth potential, what he could become, I mean, you start to think in terms of some of the really great players on the offensive lines in this league. On the downside, he didn't test great, and you only have those 15 games. So in terms of the film, you go back, 13 of his 15 starts were in 2019. He wasn't quite the same player that he showed in those two games of 2020. So which Jalen Mayfield are we going to get is the big question. If you get him the guy that can be playing like a first-round type prospect, then this is a slam dunk, great value pick. If he's the player that was just flashing for those two games, and that's all he is a guy who can flash, then I think he'll struggle with consistency. I like him as a third rounder a lot, and I think that you have first round upside with the pick there.
Now, Now, Mike, I want to ask you this one, too. The second part to this question. Now, the Falcons decided to take another center in Drew Dahlman as well in the fourth round. They have Matt Hennessy. Matt Hennessy started two games last year. He struggled. What do you think picking Drew with this pick means for Matt Hennessy moving forward?
Well, first of all, I got to correct you. My brother is Mike. I'm Matt.
Okay, my bad. But, sorry.
No, you're all good. But in terms of Dahlman, what he brings is I think he's probably more of a depth-level player. I think he's a guy who can compete for that starting center job, but I think he brings depth. I think he can play a little bit at guard potentially. He needs to improve his lower body strength a little bit. He doesn't have great size to play the other offensive line positions. But this is a guy who has 15 total blown blocks and 22 starts in his college career. That's incredible. He's really been a guy who's been somebody who can be counted on, and he has great football intelligence. So whether it's him playing center and maybe Hennessy moving to guard or a different way, at the end of the day, you've got to get five good offensive linemen in there. And I think he's got a chance, maybe more of a depth-level player, but I think he's got a chance, especially if he can get stronger.
Matt Menacherian, and he is the editor of the SIS Football Rookie Handbook. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find him on Twitter, at Matt Mano. I think Richie Grant is going to be fantastic in the NFL against the run. Tell me a little bit, Matt, about what this guy can do against NFL competition in coverage.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a question to be seen. But when you look at this guy, like you mentioned, he gets it done in the run. He's got good ball skills. You talk about a guy with 10 interceptions over the last 3 years, and he's been all over the field, 282 tackles over the 4 years. So he's been very productive in that regard. What I like about him is that he can be versatile. So 24% of the time he spent lined up in the slot. He can come down and play in the box, as you mentioned, and be a good run supporter there. And then he gets, you know, most of the time he's spending is actually on the back end there. So I think as you see NFL coverages start to transform and look a little bit more like college coverages, you see UCF really played with five DBs all the time. You can start to expect the Falcons, as much as they're already doing that, to kind of get into that even more. So I think he'll be used as kind of this overhang defender, one of these Swiss Army knives that we're seeing kind of take over the NFL. And I think that's where his value comes in. I don't think you're going to say, you know, you just stick on that guy right there and he's going to be, you know, glued to somebody like a corner might be when you draft them high. He's more of the guy that's going to bring that versatility and be able to fill lots of different roles for you for all those different pieces that offenses have right now with their running backs lining up in the slot and the way that they're trying to spread the field.
Now, the Falcons didn't decide to draft a quarterback in this draft. They didn't draft a running back as well. What did this draft tell you about the mindset of the Falcons?
I mean, it tells me that they're trying to build their football team, number one, the right way, and number two, around Matt Ryan right now. So they had their opportunities. They could have made a play if they wanted to move up for one of the other quarterbacks. They could have made taken a shot at somebody like a Justin Fields if they were interested in that. The fact that they sat there, they took the best player on the board. They kind of doubled down on what they have. I think that they're evaluating their offense as, you know what, we can shore up a couple of pieces on the offensive line. We've got great receivers and weapons. Add Kyle Pitts, and we think that Matt Ryan can be a top 10 quarterback, maybe even better than that. So there's no problems there. Then let's go and let's fill in the holes on the defense. At the end of the day, we can find running backs in this league. I don't mean to besmirch anybody or begrudge anybody, but there are a lot of guys that can get the ball done as a primary ball carrier, because a lot of times in high school and college, that's where the best ball players go. They get the rock. So there are guys that can fill that role, and you can find running backs that can fit in as long as you have the sort of weapons that you have at the skill receiver positions, the quarterback in place. So I think it's a reflection on their evaluating Matt Ryan and saying he's got a few years left, more than a few years left, and I don't think there's any reason why not. And then you look around at the rest of the roster, and the real needs were up front on the offensive line and then on the defensive side of the ball, and that's really where they went.
Matt Menacherian, he is a former scout with the Saints and the Browns, spending a few minutes with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tell us about Taquan Graham, and how do you see him fitting in the National Football League as a defensive lineman?
Yeah, Taquan Graham is a little bit of an interesting guy for us. Let me pull up my notes. Excuse me. I can't do that because we don't have notes on Taquan Graham. He didn't make our top 300 players in the Football Rookie Handbook. So he's one of these rare guys. We get 300 dudes in this book, and he actually was somebody that didn't make the cut. So I can't tell you much more about it. Maybe you guys can tell me a little bit more than I can tell you.
Who, in your opinion, Matt, who had, when you take a look at this league top to bottom, who do you feel like had the best draft last weekend?
There were a couple teams that impressed me. You look at the Dolphins, what they were able to do. They landed our number one receiver, Jaylen Waddle, who's somebody who's absolutely going to take the top off defenses and not just be a deep threat, but be more than that, sort of Tyreek Hill upside. And then they get our number one pass rusher at the edge position in the draft, Jalen Phillips, out of Miami, a guy that they're keeping there. If he can stay healthy, he has the ability to be a starter for them on day one. So really big upgrades there. Really like the way that they built throughout the draft. They also pick up Javon Holland, another safety that we really like. Liam Eichenberg, another tackle that they picked up. So strong things throughout the draft for the Dolphins. I was impressed with that. And, you know, I got to give credit. I didn't see Dave Gettleman trading down all this time and making sure that he was picking up draft picks next year as opposed to this year. And I think that was really intelligent strategically when you just look at how thin this year's draft was and where the kind of future talent goes. Those are two that definitely stand out to me in a positive light.
Who was the biggest head scratcher?
Man, there were a few head scratchers. I really thought that the Panthers could have been interested in Justin Fields there at number 8, and I think the Bears kind of reaped the rewards from that one by moving up. But then when you started to see the first big time that I was like, really, they did that, was the Raiders' first-round pick taking the offensive lineman out of Alabama, number 17. I thought they had no business taking him there. I thought that was a lower-round player for me, and there was all kinds of value on the board at that point. So that was the first pick that I looked at where I was really like, man, I don't understand it.
Matt Manicharian. Matt, appreciate it. As always, my man, we'll look forward to catching up with you again. And certainly when next year rolls around and it's draft time, we'll be reaching back out. It's always great to get a chance to talk, though. Appreciate the insight.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Matt Manicharian, former scout with the Saints and the Browns. He is the editor of the Sports Info Solutions Football Rookie Handbook. It's about 700 pages. You heard him say they had profiles in there, scouting reports on 300 players.
Chris,
yo,
you know why I got his name wrong?
Why?
Because he do stuff for the Saints. That's probably why I got his name wrong. I'm sorry, Matt, man. It won't happen again, baby. I'm sorry.